Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Oswin and Lord Knight.
So today's topic, what do we mean by intermediate studies?
See, well, I see people every so often get this question.
I was going to say, let's tell where this came from first.
All right. And again, this is an interesting question.
Right.
It's just, you typically get certain responses.
Right.
Okay. Either the person is so vague about why in the world they don't do it to the point to where it makes you think, okay, they've read Scott Cunningham's books and stop. That they only have that surface level. They don't have the next level.
Right.
Did you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because this whole intermediate, to me, is our second degree studies.
Okay.
That's that intermediate stuff.
I am, but people listening might not be.
Right. Then you have the problem of all the mysteries evolved into learning second degree, which we cannot discuss. So there's a lot of big gaps and catechism and
okay.
stuff. All right. But we can, and believe it or not, we on this podcast have already talked about stuff that is that intermediate. Because one of the responsibilities and I guess duties is counseling. As a second degree.
Mm.
So that's that counseling study. So my question is what do you mean? Because for me, that middle thing is the counseling, you moving from knowing the mysteries to being able to understand the mysteries or to be able to manipulate them to your advantage.
Right.
I mean, know them that well and learning how to do ritual, how to see what in the world the coven or your temple needs versus your needs. That you're moving more to that priest or priestess way of thinking and doing.
So you're saying that that's pretty much the intermediate level.
That is the intermediate level. So what are they wanting? You know, I think what the majority of these people really are asking for are those mysteries. Which, again, you're never going to discover in a book or online or anything like that. Because we don't write them down. We don't tell them.
Are they looking for the mysteries or are they looking for what they consider to be like advanced magic studies or advanced ceremonial studies, like ritual studies?
Well, I mean, again, this is about category. There's tons of freaking books on this. You just got to get out of the whole Wicca category and go over to the occult where most of the real information is.
Right.
Let's just be honest.
Is there even an occult section anymore? It's all under Wicca and spirituality.
Exactly. I mean, the occult in this setting means secret knowledge.
Right.
We are a mystery religion. That's the primary point of our religion.
Right.
Is to keep mysteries.
Right. It's been called as such for a very long time for a reason.
A reason. So I don't understand where this... You won't what? You won't just because you're you. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand some of these people's reluctance to teach us stuff because we're still back to, you have given me no oaths. You haven't showed me any dedication. You might show up for an event here, an event there, or listen to a podcast here or there. What? I'm sorry. I got students that have dedicated their whole entire lives to what we do.
Right.
If you only knew how much studying Lady Keegan does.
God, I know.
If you only knew how much studying all my other students do on their own, y'all are wanting something, but you're not wanting to do the work.
Right.
I'm sorry, to get that real intermediate level like some people want, yes, you're going to have to join a coven. That's the secret. This is what in the world we're not telling you. And to find out what a third degree knows, you're going to have to join a coven. Then you're going to be... made to take an oath to keep those secrets.
Right. And then you'll be in the same position the rest of us are.
And then you're in the exact same position the rest of us are.
And then you'll be, then you'll have the understanding of why we don't do the quote unquote intermediate studies.
Well, and I don't want to say we don't do them. We do them. It's just people don't realize what, I don't think people realize what intermediate is.
Well, I'm talking as content creators, you'll have that understanding
right.
why this information doesn't get put out.
I mean, if they only realize how many times I have sat here and chased my tail.
Right.
trying to explain something while skipping a mystery, and it just, you can't do it. Just like there's styles of our magic. There are mysteries wrapped up in there based on our religion.
Right.
Not our magical principles, but on our religion that allows us to do some of the things we do.
Right.
I cannot discuss those. I will not discuss them. At least not out in public.
Right.
Now, behind closed doors, under the cover, in the dead of night.
Different story.
Different story. I mean, but are you with me there?
Right.
So, I mean, my question is, when you're asking for intermediate, I mean, just instead of just saying intermediate.
Be a little more specific. Yeah, what exactly are you looking for?
I hate to be this way. For the, and don't get me wrong, the woman I heard this on, no, I don't really agree with her a lot. But I can see a problem because you're not giving us enough information there. What do you mean by intermediate?
Right.
All right. Because again, especially when you're dealing with traditions like ours, because Garnerians teach at a different pace than we do. We teach at a different pace than the Alexandrians and so forth and so on.
Right.
And we have our reasons for doing that. Nobody's right or wrong on this. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there's some information that some of our first degrees will get that you might not get until second degree in a different tradition. So I'm sorry, when you start to ask for intermediate, you're going to have to be a little bit more
specific.
Yes.
A little more focused on what it is you want.
Exactly. Because, I mean, this topic is really, second degree topics are really.
Right. Because, I mean.
Super broad.
I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to it, when the average person is looking for quote unquote intermediate studies.
Right.
What they consider intermediate may not be intermediate to us.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand the need sometimes to be vague and the sometimes to be specific. And I'm just saying, I think in this time, it's more of a need to be specific when asking that question.
Right. Because you're looking for something in a category that's very vague.
Ish.
Okay, vague-ish.
All right. And I'm sorry, it gets even worse when you're talking about third degrees.
Right.
All right.
And again, that's going to vary based on tradition.
What you learned and what you've learned on, you know, second degree and stuff like that.
Right. So the more specific you are, I think the better off, the better chances you have of getting closer to what you're looking for.
That's my thoughts exactly. I'm not trying to knock anybody here, but I'm just saying this is my problem with this question.
Right.
I don't mind the question. Please ask the question, but be a little bit more specific.
Let's talk about the business end of a coven. This is all the behind-the-scenes stuff that people don't think about when it comes to running a coven and all that that entails.
Oh, I mean, just doing the 501c3. Alone is it, you almost have to hire an attorney,
right,
to help with that.
Getting yeah,
that
paperwork, if you're going to do that, you better plan on probably easily a couple of months worth of work, if yeah. not more.
Now, again, any temple, church, or religious, you want this because again, this guarantees all donations are tax exempt.
Right.
So if anybody donates to you, that's automatically tax exempt. You don't have to worry about paperwork. You just got to give them a receipt. And now you can do it online, so you can normally pull it up at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, we use a service, and
right.
My donations to the coven, I can go and pull up receipts for the entire year.
So, I mean, that's one good thing. Now, the other thing is you get tax exempt status. All right? I believe. I could be wrong. All right, depending on the states. Some states will you even get out of paying property tax for your church.
Okay.
So there are benefits to doing this. So like, yeah, I don't think churches pay property tax on their churches. At least in North Carolina.
I was going to say at least here in North Carolina.
From my understanding. You know, I'm not sure countrywide, so don't quote me on that.
Check your local laws and regulations.
Especially in your state, all right? Because you still have to file with them. Because, like, we're in North Carolina, and we've had to do some major backflips because originally everything was filed in South Carolina,
right,
to come over here. And again, that's a long and arduous process.
Right. I mean, just because we had the status in South Carolina,
you still have to refile when you go into another state.
Right. Well, you don't have to go through a lot of the tedious paperwork, but you
on
do
the state level.
Right. But you do, at least for what we had to do for North Carolina, is we had to at least register with the state to say, hey, we exist. This is our charter. And right. We had to give them all of that stuff. We had to give them a 501c3. We had to, our charter. I forgot what else we had to give them, but there was like one or two other things.
I had a folder I was running around with.
Right.
All right. I mean, and then after you get all that done, then you got to set up the bank accounts. And the bank accounts, then you have to have your meeting notes, who's going to be written down, who's going to be in charge, what's going to happen if the organization happens to fall apart.
Right.
And what in the world's going to happen to the money and any property.
Right.
So this is not just, you know, something, hey, I can do on a weekend.
No, Lord, no.
You know, I mean, even on the state level, as you want to do some planning here.
Absolutely.
You know, now getting people to tithe, that's still a hard thing to do sometimes in the pagan community. It's hard to explain on that.
Well, I could go back to some other podcasts where we've talked about appropriation.
Yeah.
That tithing is the one appropriation that nobody wants to contribute to.
No. No. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've heard of some covens coming up with some interesting things that if you're a member, you got an entry fee, but that entry fee might be a little bit lower than someone who's not.
Right.
So, you know, I've heard of people doing that. You know, and mainly they're sitting there saying, look, this is just to help pay for your feast and the supplies and blah. I mean, that's all we're talking about. The majority of the times, again, like I said, we normally wind up in somebody's house because we can't get enough donations all the time to get land and build buildings and stuff like that, according to our traditions and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see these start to pop up.
Oh, absolutely.
Where there's a building built, a Gardnerian building, temple built, and it's built based on their tradition.
Right.
You know, just like if there was one based on our tradition, that it faced a certain direction or whatever.
I mean, I know that there are some covens who do own large amounts of land and do have meeting places.
On those lands.
On that property. But they're so few and far between.
Yeah. I mean, and again, we're still back to this tax exempt status on this is if you're doing this and you have this property and you got this, you can cut out a piece of that property and you no longer have to pay and you're renting that out to the church or whatever. I think you'll get out of property taxes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Again, check your local laws and regulations.
Please check. I mean, and don't get me wrong. There's a lot of these books out too on how to set up organizations and stuff like that. There are a lot. Go out. Please read these books. All right. There's a lot out there that are good. Some.
There's a lot of information out there.
Right. So, I mean, it's not hard. You could do your own study and it's just going to expect it to take longer. Now, again, you still have to keep your record. So once a month, you're going to have to sit there and go, well, we brought in this much. We've spent this much and keep up with those. Because trust me, if you're running a temple, you want to stay on budget because your budget is small.
Right. And also realize that a lot of times what's going to happen is a lot of that budget, that quote unquote budget, is coming out of your pocket.
Yes.
Because you can't get people to tithe.
Right. Because of cultural appropriation, apparently.
So, yeah. So that is another thing, right?
Yeah.
But that is another thing, and it's a very real part of running a coven. Well, a lot of times the people in charge, or quote unquote in charge, are fitting the bill for this.
Right. But again, there's another problem there. And, you know, I'll go ahead and mention it again, is people don't want to do ritual anymore. Everybody just wants to do spells.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Nobody wants to celebrate the gods. I'm sorry. That's what you're doing. You with me?
That's, yeah. I think that's better reserved for like the
a
more
different thing. But again,
well, I was going to say more like the eclectic groups that don't really have that built-in structure that a traditional coven does. But I think if you're a traditional coven, you need to be celebrating the gods.
I see very few people talk about doing rituals, things to celebrate the gods, how to write ritual and all this other stuff instead of, and what you hear the majority of the times is, well, you know, we're going to do this chant. We're going to do this to bring beauty into our lives or do this to bring, right. You see what I'm saying? It always ends in some type of spell. It don't have to be, hey, we're here to celebrate and praise the gods.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You see them out online all the time. Again, you have to balance this. You have to do rituals. You know, other than that, communication, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff that we talk about, most of it's just making sure you and your priest and priestesses are communicating with each other on a, you know, semi or regular basis. And remembering who's in control of what.
That's what your board is set up for.
Right. You know, I mean,
but that way you've got somebody in charge of the finances. You've got somebody in charge of learning, you know, right. Setting up classes and materials and things like that. You've got somebody in charge of running the mundane part of things. You've got somebody in charge of running the spiritual side of things. And once you've got all that laid out, it becomes a little bit easier.
Yes. And again, I'll go ahead and tell everybody, God forbid, make a backup plan.
Absolutely.
Who will take your place? Who will take the next person's place? The more you plan that out, the easier it happens if stuff goes haywire.
Right, because you never know.
You never know. And I'm not being mean or ugly there. It's just you never know. There's not you. What is that?
Shit happens.
What is that? You plan for the worst, but hope for the best.
Right.
That's just my point there, is you've got to make those plans.
You know? Really do.
I mean, other than that, yeah, you might want to take a few bookkeeping classes and some accounting, some low-level accounting classes and stuff like that.
All very helpful. Do your research into accounting programs.
Yeah.
Look at different types of software to help you organize your finances, your bookkeeping,
all
your written materials.
And make sure you have easy access to both the IRS website and your state tax reserve.
Yes. Yes.
Those need to be in favorites and right at the top so you can sit there every so often and go to them and go, okay, I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Might even put it on your calendar. Every 3 months, go check, see if any of the laws or anything's changed.
Right.
Because they'll do that in Congress and stuff, and you'll never know until like the last minute.
Right.
Especially if you're not watching the news daily and stuff like that. But
well, and if you're using Bing has a wonderful thing called collections. And you can start a new collection and just call it IRS. Put all your stuff there. Put all your little links there. You can check everything in one spot. It's beautiful.
I know. It's annoying to do it, but there is a business end of this.
Yes, there is.
Again, you're not coming at this. You're not coming at this to make money. It's to maintain.
Right. Anytime donations are accepted, we're not making a profit on anything.
Right.
All we're doing is maintaining. We're paying for websites. We're paying for the streaming service for the podcast. We're paying for, you know, operational costs.
Right.
That's all we're paying for.
And it keeps on and it does build up. So I mean, you got to keep your eye on those things. You've got to monitor them. So I think that's all I got to say.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres.
And so it is the end of our day, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our day, so walk with me